We have four selected readings. They are all very short, and I will pause between them. Just as a goldsmith would test his gold by burning, cutting, and rubbing it, so you must examine my words. That was the Buddha from the Sutra of Dentsurai. Although revered by Buddhists for his wisdom, the Buddha was neither a messiah nor a prophet and did not act as a medium between God and man. His ideas were arrived at through reasoning, not through divine revelation. And it is this that marks Buddhism out as a philosophy as much as, perhaps even more than, a religion. That's from the Book of Philosophy, author unknown. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. That's from the Dhammapada, the sayings of the Buddha. In this world, hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. This is the law. Ancient and inexhaustible. That too is from the Dhammapada. Today we'll hear from three members of WUF's Sunday morning Buddhist group about why that group is important to them and why they attend it regularly. The speakers are Robin Bailey, Terry Rodello, and Allegra Wesson, and I will introduce each of them in turn. Robin Bailey first. Robin Bailey is a Spanish teacher at Tualatin High School, where she has taught for 22 years. A native Oregonian, she has lived in Portland for the past 38 years, accepting a year-long stay in Colombia, South America. She's been attending the WUF Buddhist group for the past year. Welcome, Robin.
Good morning and thank you. My name is Robin Bailey. My journey toward an ongoing practice of Buddhist meditation arose out of a feeling of unsatisfactoriness, to coin a phrase that some students of Buddhism will use. As we all know, life is hard, and while it is full of joy and beauty, it also has very difficult times that cannot be soothed with an external focus, no matter how hard we may try. I was looking for a tool to help me deal with life's difficulties and the feelings of sorrow that can accompany them. So I read up a bit on Buddhism and its inward focus, and I decided to give it a try. I began attending the WUF Buddhist group, or Sangha, about a year ago. While I didn't really know what to expect, I hoped for some relief. I will admit that I dreamily envisioned peacefully sitting in the lotus position, easily meditating, and slowly, you know, like in a few weeks, reaching nirvana. What this group quickly helped me learn, albeit dispelling this harmonious and tranquil vision, is that what meditation is not about is sitting on some enlightened nirvanic cloud, blissfully detached from the world and its woes. Not only is this not the goal, it is realistically not even an option. Darn. So what then is Buddhist meditation about, and why do it? What meditation has helped me see is the constant, ceaseless, and loud noise that is continuously running through my mind. I think, I wonder about, I fantasize, I catastrophize, I plan, I anticipate, I worry. Now, while it is important to look ahead and plan and also to look back for guidance, what I am learning about myself is that I spend a lot of time in my head with thoughts running amok and controlling my feelings in the process. I can easily get caught up in what should have happened, or how I could have done something differently, or I worry about what might happen next and what I can do to avoid the next disaster. All of this makes me suffer. Additionally, I've come to realize that all of these thoughts, conversations, plans, worries, and ideas are just illusions. They aren't real. While I don't mean to say that these thoughts can't develop from some real event, they themselves are not. They change, move, and wither away with the next thought that comes into my mind. With time, each thought loses its strength as another replaces it. And on it goes, holding me prisoner and emotionally whipping me about. It truly is amazing to realize what one's mind and ego are constantly doing, and to understand that not all of it is helpful. When I meditate, I observe the endless, varied, and at times quite odd thoughts that run through my mind. I bring myself back to my breath, and then soon I'm off again on another adventure, another fantasy, another worry. I bring myself back to the breath again and again and again and again. Every time I meditate, it's hard. Often it feels like I'm not accomplishing anything, and I wonder if it's doing any good. So why do I continue? What I am seeing and learning through meditation is that this is what our minds do, and all of this doing can create tremendous suffering. Our minds are wonderful things, but they also can lead us astray. If I am caught up in an imagined conversation with someone, whether pleasant or unpleasant, I am simply living in a fantasy world during that conversation. I can imagine all sorts of things during that conversation, and I experience emotions and sometimes even physical responses to something that is only happening in my thoughts. With meditation, I am learning to non-judgmentally observe all of this and to understand that thoughts are impermanent and ever-changing. So, with all of this learning about the workings of my thoughts, am I happy now all of the time? Am I a peaceful little creature who has eliminated the suffering from my life through higher consciousness and understanding? Nope. Life foists a lot of challenging, difficult, and painful things upon us, and often those things are outside of our control. But what I am seeing through meditation is that my mind also foists a lot of difficulty on me, and that adds weight to the external stuff. When I observe myself and my thoughts, I can see when my mind and ego are running wild. I can bring myself back to the present with a few breaths and a realization that while there are very real things outside of me that can and indeed do cause pain, with my breath and a focus on the moment, I can slow the hamster wheel in my mind. Just that little process alone gives me perspective and is calming. There is a way to lessen the suffering that exists in our lives. By understanding how our thoughts affect us, we can learn not to fuel the fires that cause us even more pain. So while I am not floating on a cloud blissfully above it all, through Buddhist meditative practice, I feel like I am learning to understand my mind. In doing so, I am creating a perspective which can help to gently guide me and steer me away from going down roads that are not helpful and that can cause me pain. Meditation is not a magic pill to some permanently euphoric state, but for me, it is a fascinating and enlightening journey that helps to guide me to a calmer, happier, and more peaceful life. Thank you, and namaste. Thank you. Terry Rodello is an information technology professional and longtime member leader with Amnesty International, the global human rights organization. She joined WOOF several years ago after giving a presentation on the Oregon death penalty during a Sunday service. A member of the WOOF social justice team since joining WOOF, she started attending the Buddhist group meetings
after listening to a Why I Belong to the WWF Buddhist Group Sunday service 2 years ago. Maybe there will be a ripple effect. Terry.
Good morning. As my introduction said, 2 years ago I sat in the sanctuary like you are now and listened to a service on the same topic, why I attend the Buddhist group. At that point, I'd been a member of WWF for several years and very active in the Social Justice Committee and other activities. I enjoyed being at WWF, but something was missing. WWF wasn't the spiritual community I thought it was. Then I heard Joanne, Nancy, Jeanette, and Bill, members of the Buddhist group, talk about the group. They seemed to have found the spiritual community I was seeking. So, 2 years ago, I started attending the Buddhist group regularly. It has made such a positive difference in my life, especially in how I try to live life with its challenges. The Buddhist group has become my sangha, the Buddhist word for spiritual support community. Through this group, I have met others who are trying to live a life of truth, awareness, and compassion while dealing with daily life and all that entails. Some are long-time members of WWF or Unitarians, and others are not. I attend the Buddhist group because of its members, the discussions about the books about Buddhism we read, and the meditation practice. Learning about Buddhism and how to practice living in the present and not be imprisoned or burdened by the past or worried about the future have changed my life, especially my spiritual life. The operative word is practice. I've only begun this journey, but I feel I'm on the right path. Through this group, I've learned that I don't need a guru or authority figure or special insight to live a life in the present moment. Each of us is our own guru on living our daily life. It's really quite simple, as Thich Nhat Hanh, the internationally known Buddhist teacher, said, we all know what we need to do. One key element in my spiritual growth is meditation, with its importance on breathing. Meditation is practiced weekly in the group, and each of us are trying to incorporate this practice into our daily lives. Breathing is taken for granted, but it is very important in helping us live in the moment, because that's all we really have. Another common topic discussed is suffering and happiness. I have learned a lot about the wheel of suffering, which is mentioned in the book about Buddhist practice, How to Be Sick. A light bulb went off when I read about this. A wheel of suffering results when we allow our minds to latch or cling to an idea or emotion that causes pain, anger, or suffering. We can cause our own suffering and get our own personal wheel of suffering by our reactions to emotions and events. But these reactions can be controlled, but only if we pause before we react. Meditation helps with this pause, which is our opportunity or my opportunity to get off my own wheel of suffering. Meditation has helped me get off that wheel. Not all the time, but sometimes, which is a positive improvement, but again, more practice is needed. Meditation is not easy and takes practice. Some days it works, some days it doesn't, but I've learned you start where you are. That's the Buddhist philosophy. If it takes a million times to get it right, then it takes a million times. That is why it's called a practice. In the last 2 years, I've read different books about Buddhism. One of my favorite authors is Thich Nhat Hanh, who we've mentioned a couple of times. One saying in particular helps me with my daily life. It's Without mud, there cannot be any lotus flower. Out of suffering, a lotus flower of happiness can open. The short version is, no mud, no lotus. It means suffering is part of life, as is happiness. Life is both, but they are not permanent. They come and they go. 2 years ago, I began my journey to learn about Buddhism with no real knowledge about Buddhist teachings or its practice. But I hope to continue this journey throughout my life. But please do not think my Buddhist practice has replaced my social justice activism. I'm not leaving human rights activism to live a life of quiet meditation sitting on a pillow with my eyes closed. My Buddhist practice has strengthened my activism. It has given me more energy and inner peace for this work and life. For that, I am grateful for the Buddhist group. Thank you.
They move. They do.
I think you might have taken my... Oh. I'm so relieved. I really thought that was me.
Allegra Wesson is a senior at Tigard High School and joined the Buddhist group 2 years ago, a little after stumbling across the Unitarian Universalist Church online. Before then, she already had an interest in meditation, Buddhism, and Taoism, and other related schools of thought. Allegra, welcome.
Good morning. So a couple of years ago, I found the Unitarian Universalist Church. But from there, I found out about the smaller groups that were within the church, and I quickly grew interest in the Buddhist group that was there. My dad has always had an interest in Buddhism, and so that sort of come in through my family. And around that time, I was really starting to develop an interest in Buddhism myself. So just out of sheer curiosity, me and my dad both decided to go to the Buddhist group. And I just want to stress from the very beginning how welcoming and peaceful the group was. I just remember the very first time, the very first Sunday that I went into the group, that there was just this feeling of peace and presence that was in the room that each member had and held together. And I think I haven't really seen that from any other group, and I knew that was special. At the end of that first meeting, we had a meditation like we usually do. And I've meditated before, but that meditation was something special. It was something a lot more peaceful than I've ever experienced before as I was in the group, and I just felt the peace radiate throughout the room. But I just want to go over the basic overview of what we do in each meeting and why it's important to me and how it all works together. So first, there's a check-in every time where we talk about our week and what's going on. And I find it really important because you can talk about any problem that's going on in your life, and people will listen, and they'll be there for you and give you sympathy if you need it. After that, we have our discussion, and there's a facilitator that changes every week, and which is another special part of the group, too, because there's always somebody different, and anybody can facilitate. So we have a discussion with whatever book that we've been reading. And the books can vary from more beginner books, more advanced books, but each one has its own wisdom and perspective to share that's important. And so we have our discussion with little bits of wisdom that I find each time and about the book that we're talking about. Finally, we end with a meditation, and the meditation's very low pressure too, like the rest of the group. You can stay or you can leave if you don't want to meditate, but each time I've always found the meditation to be a gift and very, very peaceful compared to maybe some of my other meditations. And so as I continue to come to this to the Buddhist group, I got to know the people better, and I really did start to feel the sense of community. And in Buddhist practice, there's this thing called a sangha, and that's just basically the community that you have that guides you in your practice. And it's really important for your practice to show you like a path and give you guidance on moving forward. And I believe with the Buddhist group, I have found my sangha. So with the sangha, you develop greater knowledge of how to live your life. I've developed a much greater perspective than I could have had ever before. And there's always little bits of wisdom and understanding on how to deal with suffering and problems in our lives that I find that just come out through discussion that I don't think I would find anywhere else. And this Buddhist practice can be sort of difficult to do all on your own, because what you're really trying to do is become awake in reality and see through the illusions and suffering and that we just live with constantly. And that can be really difficult to do on your own. So with the Buddhist group, I've found a way to keep moving forward, even when things have been sort of tough and difficult. So it showed me the path forward, giving me discipline and motivation to keep going, which is very important for any spiritual practice. And really, each week with the Buddhist group is just a reminder, once again, to wake up in reality and be present and be aware. Lastly, essentially, Buddhism, I think, is just a very important philosophy to have in your life. And the Buddhist group has taught me once again these lessons I might have read before, but it's given me a reminder once again. We need the awareness in our lives as we go through our lives. Otherwise, we're just living blindly and don't have a sense of direction. And I've realized over and over again how important awareness is if you want to live a good life. I've also been taught how our emotions can blind us from seeing the true reality, and that sometimes we need to take a step back, face our emotions instead of avoiding them, and be aware of what they are and what they might do to our reality. And lastly, Buddhism teaches us that the root of suffering is caused by craving, aversion, and aversion. And I think that's just a very important lesson to learn, and that you have to accept reality for whatever it is, whatever it might be, and just be present in the very moment. So I think I've learned a few things that maybe some adults haven't learned, and I think that is why the Buddhist group is so valuable to me, and I'll always continue to come back to it.
Thank you, Allegra, Terry, and Robin. And I also want to thank Joanne Bailey for pulling it all together and making this service happen. Sorry, Joanne Nordling. I was looking at Robin Bailey's name as it came out of my mouth. And now please stand in body or in spirit. And our closing hymn is number 175. Since this is not so familiar, Betsy will play through one verse as an introduction. We have plenty of time for discussion, comments, questions. I invite our speakers to come on up and answer questions from here. I will walk among you and bring the mic around.
Is this on?
Yep.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Just a question. Is Thich Nhat Hanh still living?
Yes. He had a stroke several years ago, And so he's not making many public appearances, but he's still in. I think he's in Thailand right now, what I was reading. There's a retreat there, yeah.
Thank you.
How often does the group meet? And when?
Yeah, we meet weekly from 9 to 10 in the Acorn Room. It's on the program. It's always in the program, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. And there's also a Wednesday group. When do they meet?
7 to 8
in the Acorn Room?
Yes.
Okay.
And how many people?
Oh, it can vary. What did you say? Yeah, 25 max. It could be 15, 20, and I don't know about the Wednesday group, which is about a year old. Our capacity was exceeding the number of people attending was exceeding the capacity of the room, and then some people wanted to attend but couldn't attend on Sundays, so a couple of our longtime members volunteered to host a Wednesday group, which is proven to be very popular. It's been how long has it been now? About a year, the Wednesday group? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's smaller, but people come, and we're glad that Wolf provides the accommodations so that people can do this. I was really glad. We didn't discuss what we were going to say before we stepped up here, and it's interesting how it actually complements each other. We got the personal in their mind, and then Gallegra's. Point of view, which I really appreciated. So, I wish I was as enlightened as she is when I was. I'm a little slow. Okay.
Let's see, is the practice in this group along the lines of a Zen practice?
No.
Okay.
One time I mentioned to a colleague, oh yeah, I'm learning Thai Buddhism. And he said to me, well, what kind? I said, he goes, is it Hindu? Is it Zen? Is it Japanese? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm learning that part. Yeah. But the focus is, as you said, meditation, but our focus is how we live it to help us practice it in our daily life as we are part of the world.
I want to thank you for your presentation. For many of us, Buddhism is so individualized and so inward-looking that some of us have the impression that the outward reach and concern is missing. Thank you for clearing up that misapprehension.
Well, yeah, I don't mean to dominate this, but when Thich Nhat Hanh, his name comes up a lot, is he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by Martin Luther King in the 70s. He was a social activist in Vietnam who got kicked out of the country. So for him, and what I've learned and why I appreciate Buddhism, is that it isn't necessarily inward looking, that it actually makes us better apt to deal with the world. And it is liberating and helps us then, frees us to live in the world.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I was listening downstairs, and I just wanted to add that I have been to the Buddhist group many years ago. I just find that my life is already full of time slots where, you know, if I want to do water exercise, I have to be there at 10, and et cetera, et cetera. So I found that having to go at a certain time just didn't work for me, so I didn't come. However, my daughter introduced me to an app. I'm a dinosaur, but I use apps, called Headspace. And it's very easy to use. I use it in the morning, and it's guided meditation. There are lots of other resources for guided meditation. And the nice thing about it is that even though I'm not part of a community of meditators, I talk about it, and other people around me are starting to use it, and we talk about what we learn from it. It has what's called themed packs, so you can actually focus on, like, if you have cancer or if you have regrets or if you're having trouble sleeping. And it's not at all, I would say it's very different from
from what your charter is or whatever, but this fellow leading it studied in a monastery for 10 years. So he's managed to create something that can be very friendly and accessible. And it might move me to, you know, come to a Buddhist group eventually, but it's a great entry point.
I think this is for Allegra, right? So does your dad still come?
Yes, he does.
And has that changed, like, family dynamics? Like,
over here.
20s. I don't think it really has changed that much, but I feel like that both of us have learned a lot and become more experienced with Buddhism over the year, over the couple of years. And I don't know. I think I even have more interesting philosophical conversations with him now. So it's nice to have something to share with a parent too.
And then is there, so you're at Tigard High School?
Yeah, I'm going to be a senior.
Okay, my son's going to be a freshman. Are there any Buddhist groups at the high school or any other Buddhists at the high school that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
Are you an outlier? Are you an outlier at your high school, or are you sensing some kind of movement?
I feel like I'm probably more of an outlier, but... I mean, I wouldn't really know, I guess, but probably, I mean, I have created a philosophy club at my school, but that's about the extent of it.
Thank you. Thank you all, and Allegra especially. It's so heartening to know that people your age are really taking on mindfulness, and I'm hearing a lot more about mindfulness in schools and even in preschools these days. So I have hope that maybe we are going to stop some of the madness that we have adopted as our way of life. Mm-hmm. Thanks again.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank you. I really got a lot out of every single one of what you had to say, and I'm kind of glad you didn't collaborate with each other, because... just really was very intriguing. Thank you so much.
I wanted to insert a comment that came to me when Robin was speaking about the mind chatter and the worrying and how hard it is to be in the present. We've probably all noticed how Wolf services, the different moving parts that are under the control of different people, often just magically come together to all seem to say the same thing, or something will illuminate something else just by accident. And that mind shatter thing, you, as a lay leader, I have discovered it is possible to plan everything and prepare everything really well and look at a thing called the chalice table and not notice that there is no chalice on it. What does that say?
So I actually had a question about how Buddhism colors your social justice viewpoint, because I went to college at a Catholic university and ended up in activist circles and really saw how the Catholic ethic affects people's social justice views and viewpoints. And I really wanted to know how Buddhism affects that for you.
Well, I come to the UUs as from the Catholic perspective. I'm Jesuit educated. It's in my soul. Mm-hmm. However, even though I haven't attended the Catholic Church since I was in college, for philosophical, I couldn't be a cafeteria Catholic. So I've been involved with Amnesty International since then. The answer to the question, Buddhism actually, to me, I don't draw the line that what it's done is it helps me how to deal with my impersonally inside and privately get my energy, because otherwise I have so many thoughts, the chatter and worry and all this other stuff is very calming to give me the strength and the breathing. And what I'm learning is as I do that, that's where you get your strength. Because life's a hassle at times, and sometimes life's a real hassle. And so what I'm hoping meditation will do is to give me strength so that when really bad things happen, or the world, like looking at the world, I can still be calm enough but strong enough to deal with it. I don't know if I answered the question, but it's social justice, and it just gives me a more personal, almost like private way, an individualized way to apply it, to apply my social justice. I needed that separation, because you can't be an activist all the time. You just you'll burn out.
Well, thank you again, all of you, and we can continue the conversation downstairs after.